up, everybody. It's You Get the Blessing.
How can you laugh when you know I'm down?
How can you laugh
when you know I'm down? Man buys ring, woman throws it away. Same old thing happen every day. I'm down.
That is music right there, my friends. That is music to launch this program. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing, and that, if you don't know, happens to be the Beatles, the greatest band in the history of music. And what does that have to do with our program today? Let me tell you, you could be down, just like that show's talking about, and we're here to get you back up. In fact, there's people every day walking through life, day in, day out, down. Down on everything, and our guest today brings a little hope into their lives. And I want you to meet our guest today, Sean Dunn, who is the executive director of Groundwire. Sean, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Bo. Great to be here.
How do you like that music?
You know, I love it. I just wish I could match your energy.
You tell lies thinking I can't see. You can't cry when you're laughing at me. I'm down. Well, tell us how Groundwire started and why you're all about a world that is too frequently down. And yeah, you step in with the approach you've taken and try to get people up.
Right. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is there's a generation out there that is on my heart. I have been just passionate about reaching youth and young adults for I've been in full-time ministry for 25 years and just obsessed with how do we reach young people. And about 10 years ago, we started to ask the question, how do we reach the ones with hope that have no hope? How do we reach the ones with the gospel that will not walk into a church? And we saw an opportunity through their media. Pornographers, predators, and publicists have figured out how to use media to destroy innocence. And we thought if we could take the same tools, change the message, and start talking about hope, about possibilities, about love, about purpose, we could see some lives transformed. And we've seen it.
You just said a mouthful. Slow down and say that again, because you're one of the fast talkers of America. Pornographers, predators, and publicists,
right,
have done what?
They have figured out how to use media and technology to destroy young people, to destroy their innocence, to destroy their sense of value, to destroy their sense of purpose. And so if they're using those tools to communicate that message, and that message is grabbing hold of their hearts, and it's dragging young people towards a place where they're contemplating suicide, where they're cutting themselves to deal with the internal pain, where they are looking for something to satisfy them, so they run to substances or they run to illicit relationships, not because they're in love, but because they're either bored or they're looking for something to make them feel good about themselves. If those tools can be used to destroy hearts, why can't those tools be used to communicate truth and hope and purpose?
You've tuned into the right program today, folks. You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, and that doesn't matter. My guest today is Sean Dunn, and that does matter. Sean, tell us how Groundwire got launched.
Okay.
How long you been at it?
Yeah, you know, we've been doing, the parent organization has been around since 1995, but about 10 years ago, we really took a turn where we saw that young people are addicted to their entertainment. And if they're addicted to their entertainment, they might not choose positive messages. They might not place themselves in a position where they can hear truth, but if they're addicted to their MTV, their VH1, their hip-hop radio station, their alternative rock station, if they're addicted to those outlets of entertainment, why can't we sneak in with the messages that we want them to hear? So one example would be, Bo, the commercial I showed you just a few minutes ago. Jersey Shore is just, it's everywhere. You don't even have to watch MTV to know what Jersey Shore stands for. It's a reality TV show. There's a young lady named Snooki that has become a role model in our society, which scares me a little bit, if you know anything about Snooki.
Scares me that I've never heard any of this.
Oh.
I'm still listening to the Beatles and stuck in my 63-year-old package.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
there's a group of people that are
good for you. Good for you. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But there's a generation addicted to these shows, MTV. And we created a commercial during a young lady comes home from school. She slumps on the couch. She turns on MTV. She's watching Jersey Shore. And on a commercial break, before she knows what she's watching, she's seeing a commercial that talks about a God who understands. There's the commercial is a young lady walking down the high school hallway. She owns the school. She's got a smirk on her face. The wind's blowing in her hair. Everybody's looking at her. They think that she has it all together. But as she turns the corner to go into the restroom, the voiceover comes online and it says, "Do you ever get tired of pretending that life is perfect?"
So there's a great scripture in King James. It talks, Paul's talking about becoming all things to all men. So by all means, I may save some. Living Bible, which I love.
Yeah.
It's a little more down to earth for a guy like me. Yeah. Says, "Whatever man's like, I try to find a common ground with that man so I may share Christ with him and Christ may save him." So this form of Media Connect is a common ground you guys have found with millions of young people.
Right. You know, one of the statistics that drove the launching of the new strategy was 97% of teenagers listen to the radio at least 5 times a week. We can't get 97% to come to a church. You know, the average student spends 10.5 hours a day interacting with mass media on some level. And so if that's where they are, let's go to them because they're not coming to us as frequently.
Okay, so let's catch listeners up to where we are by listening to one of your spots. This is You Get the Blessing. Our guest today, Sean Dunn, the executive director of Groundwire. And let's just listen to one of the 30-second spots that you guys have put on the air.
Okay. When life doesn't make sense, he offers perspective. When chaos reigns, he can calm the storm. When everyone abandons you and all hope is gone, he's right next to you and can help you find your way. The God of the Bible loves you and wants to be a part of your life. He has the answers you're looking for and the peace that you crave. If you think that God is irrelevant, uncaring, or dead, maybe you should look again. If you were told he was untouchable and impersonable, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
For more information or to talk to a live spiritual coach, log on to groundwire.net.
Okay, so where would we find that just on a typical day?
In the Denver area, 93.3. Aggressive alternative rock station that Clear Channel owns. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes a commercial. I'll tell you a story. The first time I ever heard one of our commercials on 93.3 was on a Saturday night. I clicked on the radio station. The first song that came on as soon as I turned on my radio station was a song that says, "I hate everything about you." That's the chorus. It's not Beatles. But it's a song. The chorus is, "I hate everything about you." And then here comes our commercial. God loves you, has a plan for your life. He's thinking about you right now. You can talk to somebody about it if you want to right now. And then right after that commercial, there was a commercial for a tequila party. And the commercial said, "Come forget about your horrible week." And right there, sandwiched between two messages of hopelessness, is a message that's light in the midst of darkness. And so hip-hop stations, rock stations, stations where kids are just listening by the hour.
So in Denver Seminary in the 80s, when I was there for an entire decade trying to get through a two-year program, I remember a class called Christ and Culture. And the basic question the class was asking and then answering was, you know, is Christ supposed to be above culture or intermingled with culture? And you guys have made the choice to jump right into the culture and say, hey, this is mainstream. This is where the kids are. This is what they're listening to. Let's go right there and bring Christ and the positive message of life into that culture.
You know, scripture says, and I know that this is taken mildly out of context, but it says, Jesus said, "If I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And I realize that was talking about the cross, but I also believe it's talking about culture. If I'm seen as who I am, then people will respond to me. If people see Jesus as loving, compassionate, the one who offers forgiveness of their sins, the one who adopts them as children, the one who gives peace in the midst of storm, the one who gives joy that can't be described, when people see our God and our Savior, the way he really is, no matter what the platform, how it's coming across a screen or through a radio, they're gonna respond to that. And that's what we've decided to do, is we're committed to lifting up the name of Jesus and his character everywhere we possibly can.
I liked when a couple of quarterbacks criticized Tim Tebow last year and said, "You know, we got it, Tim. You don't have to keep telling us you love Jesus Christ." And Tebow came back and said, "Hey, guy gets married and tells his wife on his wedding day, 'I love you.' That shouldn't be the end of it. That should just be the beginning. Keep telling her over and over. As long as you're going to put these mics in my face," he said, "I'm going to keep saying, 'I love Jesus Christ.'" And you guys are getting out in front of this saying, "Hey, as long as this is what's going on, we're going to take this message of happiness and joy and purpose and meaning and life itself through Christ and put it out there."
Right. Well, and absolutely, in many spiritual scriptural mandates command us to do that. You know, in 1 Timothy, it says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And I think as a church, we've lost the art of that. We invite people to come into our building to talk about Christ. We want to keep it out there. Another scripture, and you just kind of talked about it in a roundabout way, is the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Why are we losing a generation? Why do statistics prove that they're less interested in Jesus? It's because they never hear about him. They never position themselves to hear about the goodness of God. Therefore, they don't necessarily embrace it. We're trying to change that. And then the last thing is in Isaiah, where it says that his word will not return void. So anytime anybody has to consider the claims of Christ, we win. Anytime anybody has to even if they reject it right away, man, it's chipping away. And we know that God's Holy Spirit can do his work.
Tell us some success stories where people didn't reject it, but this was the hope line that they needed to grab onto to absolutely turn everything around and save just themselves spiritually, but even physically.
You bet. You know, the back end of what we offer, I had a brilliant board member who said, we can't just advertise. We have to give people a place to land. And so we have a 24-hour-a-day instant message hotline that's really an evangelism tool. It's like street witnessing, but the difference is they tap you on the shoulder and they start the conversation with you. It's amazing how this works. We have volunteers all over the world who are there. So even the
how does it work?
Well, we train them online. We hold them accountable online. We have people in the UK handling our middle of the night, people in Australia handling our middle of the night. We have people in Denver and Indiana that give us 2 hours a week. We have a guy in Canada, never led anybody to Christ. Introduced somebody to Christ his second chat, first day out, led 15 people to Christ in his first 9 weeks online.
Guys, explain exactly what that means to a listener who doesn't understand. What does it mean to meet Christ?
To introduce them to the God who has done everything necessary for any one of us who are sinners to come to a place where our sins are forgiven, heaven is our home, but explaining to them the grace and the mercy of God and knowing that we have to step towards him. He's offered everything, but we have to step towards him and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you.
So he wants to hear us say, I accept you, I surrender,
yes.
I ask for your forgiveness, and that's how you get signed up to be a Christian.
Right. Become the Lord of my life, where we trust our life to him and we align our life with his plan for our life.
I can remember a star player with the Mets years ago making just a pile of money. Some lady that had seen him in the stadium playing ball the day before, came and knocked on his hotel door the afternoon of a night game. I was supposed to meet him like at 4, I think, to go to the stadium. This lady comes by his hotel room at 1 just to have sex all afternoon with a complete stranger she'd watched play baseball the night before. And I said to him that night, did you ever think something like that would happen to you? Did you ever think you'd be making this much money, be this big a star? And did it ever cross your mind you'd be this miserable in your life? Mm-hmm. He said, no. And he prayed to receive Christ out in the bullpen that evening before the game started. So these things are happening, folks.
Yeah.
You can get in on both ends of that. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to be part of the process that just loves people into a relationship with Christ. It's a rare privilege to be the last link on that chain that you actually pray that sinner's prayer with somebody. But the best decision I've ever made was when Don Reverts told me this, and I said, how do I sign up? He said, pray.
Yeah. The amazing thing is people are absolutely ready to receive Christ. It's funny. Christians don't think that the unchristian, that the unsaved person wants to respond to Christ. But the Bible says that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And I've come to believe, is it possible that those people in the world are more likely and more willing to consider and respond to the claims of Christ than we as Christians are willing and equipped to share his truth?
Well put, my friend. Let's talk about some specifics
here.
Probably takes money to do all that you're doing, and I imagine to have this kind of a national organization, you need big money. So what can people do to get involved financially, and what will their money allow you all to do?
One of the things that amazes me about this whole process is how inexpensive it is. People think that our budget must be huge because
Gotta buy it costs time, so much money. I would think.
But you know, let me just give you some statistics here that blow me away. On MTV nationwide, I'm not gonna tell you which cable company it is, but it costs us $1.37 for every 1,000 people that see our commercial.
Reasonable.
So if you went to Starbucks this morning, that same cup of coffee would have shared Christ with 3,000 people. I mean, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, no pressure, but I mean, it's amazingly inexpensive. There's an economy here that God just kind of showed us how to negotiate, and it's been phenomenal. So we're very excited about what God's doing. We are growing significantly. Last year, we grew from 18 million media impressions a month to 28 million media impressions a month. Our web traffic grew from, in 2010, we averaged 58,000 visitors a month to the website. In January, so 13 months later, we had 341,580. So the growth is ridiculous, and we're excited about continuing to just share Jesus with as many people as possible through these outlets. If people want to get involved, would love that. We need coaches. If you say, you know, I would love to be there to communicate encouragement and Jesus to these people, we'll take you through the training, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home. If you're interested in that, you can go to groundwire.net. And you can ask the questions there. If you're interested in donating, you can go to groundwire.net/donate and figure out how you can be involved financially with the things that are going on, knowing that you are sharing Christ. Can I, couple quick stories.
Keep going, pal.
Okay, don't want to run out of time.
No, you got
this
time.
Morning,
fire away.
This morning, received an email from a young lady who a year ago got online and talked to one of our coaches several times. And she emailed this morning. She says, I haven't been on for about a year, but I wanted to let you know, a year ago when I contacted you, I was a substance abuser and I was flunking out of school. I'd actually dropped out. She said, a year later, I'm a 4.0 student and I haven't touched substances since that day. I mean, we've had strippers in New York City come to Christ at 3 a.m. because they get off work, they turn on VH1 and they see one of these commercials, get out of their bed, go to their computer and find somebody who will tell them about Jesus. Just amazing, amazing stuff is going on.
That's exciting. And when someone donates, is that what their money goes to, is to buy more media impressions?
Yes, 78% of all the donation money that comes in goes to program, to buying the airtime or to supporting the coaching line.
Okay, so how do you keep a constant flow of ideas coming for your to create your spots?
You know, the radio spots, I've personally written over 300 of them.
You have?
Which is probably every thought I've ever had in the world.
So turning. God just gives you see something and you think, here would be a message that would connect with that problem.
Yeah, yeah. Tell a story about a girl that I met who's a self-mutilator, cuts herself. And then you turn it around. Some people don't know how to find peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He loves you, has a plan. So, I mean, every picture that you see kind of comes into view as you see how it relates to some of the people who might be listening to the radio or seeing the TV.
So the beauty of what you're doing, I've been taught with a consultant I use for the last 38 years, that what you're creating here called brain branders, short, quick messages that actually brand your brain and cut the fog of whatever it is that might be clouding your thinking and get right to the heart of the issue. And then in this case, like I was remembering Irv Brown, who was a great coach. He was my coach at the University of Colorado playing baseball there. And I was just in a torrid slump one day and two strikes in the hole, looked to the dugout like, can anybody help me here? I can't even hit a foul ball. And Irv looked at me and said, short, quick, and down. So in three words, he gave me a two-hour hitting lesson. And the next pitch, I leveled over the left field wall, and I trotted around the bases thinking, Irv Brown is a genius. This man is a genius. So just cut through the fog, and that's what you're doing with these impressions you're creating.
Yeah. What we're trying to – there's a couple things that we try and communicate in all of our messages. One of the three or four things. One of them is, if you have questions, we want to train people. God has the answers. We want to train people that if they are hurting, God is the one who can heal them. We want to teach them that if they feel alone, God's right there next to them, just waiting to communicate with them. We want to communicate this picture of a God who is loving, who is relevant, and who's personal.
Well, you're doing it, my friend, and I think that's an incredible mind God has given you to generate that many new, fresh ideas. So you're sitting there listening to this radio program today. You get the blessing. You're meeting Sean Dunn, who runs Groundwire, and you're hearing about 28 million media impressions per month that this organization has put out there on the airwaves for our kids to hear, our friends to hear that are hurting. Think about that. And the least we can do is support you and come alongside of you and say, okay, you need coaches, we want to be a coach. You need a donation, we want to include you on what we do with our money and where we donate. And I think it's an exciting partnership that can be formed here with listeners today that are just getting to know you, Sean, for the first time, because think of the power of sending my grandkids off in this craziness and yet being assured that they're going to get some messages that are going to be brain branders and hit the spot home in their heads and their hearts and point them towards Christ and good things.
One of the groups of people that have really resonated with what we do, or I've had several people say to me, we know how to take care of orphans in Africa. We know how to drill water wells. We know how to see the harvest in India. But they've said, we don't know how to reach my kids and my grandkids. We don't know how to impact this culture. We see the media. We know how bad it is, what it's in. And they come alongside and they say, you've given us the tools to impact that. And so those are the people who really seem to resonate with what we're doing from a funding and a prayer standpoint. They say, we get this. We see our kids going out. We know what's going on. We love knowing that that same culture is being invaded with truth through these tools that you've provided.
And I love the fact that you can look at businessmen and women that are contemplating here, should I make a donation? And you can say with certainty, here's how we track this.
Yep.
Here's how we measure what's going on.
Right. Yeah. Our metrics are clean. There's five primary things that we measure. And so you know, going in, if I make a contribution, we can share with you. Like, I just did a telethon in San Diego for the San Diego market specific. And every $25 gift that came in would share one of our commercials with 7,762 people for $25.
Wow. That's a good leveraging of the dough there, my friend.
Yeah.
So what can people that maybe don't want to donate, maybe don't want to be a coach, but want to spend some time praying for you and the expansion of your organization, what can they pray for?
Would love your prayers. Building capacity. Our growth, as I shared, has grown significantly. I mean, our coaching line is just, it's not maxed out, but we're growing quicker than we're adding coaches. So just adding more coaches is definitely a prayer need. We need to add several hundred coaches every year as we continue to grow. We just launched an office in the UK specifically to recruit and train coaches overnight because we can't find enough Americans to get up at 3 a.m. to be there for the people who are hurting at 3 a.m. So we're leveraging that time zone. UK and Australia and India are covering our middle of the night hours. So, I mean, there's just a whole lot of moving parts here. We're figuring out as we go. We're really the first ones to kind of venture into this avenue with a pure gospel message and with the back-end support. And so just pray for wisdom as well.
We will pray for that. In fact, let's pray right now. Lord Jesus Christ, Sean and I join together here in the studio and lift to you these prayers of request for lives we don't even know, just young people that are mixed up or confused or confronted with choices that are just potentially going to be damaging and life-threatening. And we ask you to go before us today and through the ministry of Groundwire, through the coaches that are part of this, just to prepare their hearts and minds for these messages that you've put on Sean's heart and that he has so effectively now learned how to communicate to all these millions of people that see these spots all the time. So we thank you in advance for the lives that you're touching and changing. We thank you for the people that are listening to this program today who are going to partner with Sean and Groundwire to make this even more effective. And we thank you in advance for the miracles that will happen in the lives of people that are just in such need today. Sean, what are you looking forward to in the immediate future? Just to wrap the program up today that might fire somebody that's listening.
You know, for me, the thing that gets me going is every morning reading some of the chats from the night before, especially the salvation chats where kids come online and they're hurting. Young girl from Tampa, she just comes on and she says, I don't know if I want to live. I want to talk to somebody. And as a coach begins to share his story, much like you shared yours, about how he came to faith and how God changed his heart and life and perspective, she interrupts him and says, I want to know this God just like you do. I mean, those things are just, I mean, it's sometimes you need to run and grab chocolate or some caffeine. Man, I read those and I'm good to go. So that's what I love, and just continuing to see God open doors that no man can open.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show today, and sorry that you are stuck in a generation that doesn't know the lyric to every single Beatles song like I know, but we're going to wrap the show up again today with one of my favorite Beatles songs, and I just pray that everybody listening would be up and excited and not down. So stay with it, y'all. We'll see you next week on You Get the Blessing.
Same old thing happen every day. I'm down.
When you know I'm down,
how can you